The next word on this list I mentioned was God. And here comes a very basic difference in Christianity and Islam, which probably accounts for all the difference between the two religions. The Christian believes that God reveals himself. The Muslim believes that God reveals his will, because you cannot know what is God. In revealing himself in Christianity, the Christian means the incarnation, God became a man. They mean that God is the true image of man. The Bible says man was made in the image of God. So if you know what man is like, then you have a pretty good idea of what God is like. And he is called the God of Israel, the God of this nation of Israel. In contrast, the Islamic position is in agreement with what is known to be the facts of modern logic, that the totality of truth, that is the ultimate reality, is ineffable. It is something we cannot know. This is a fundamental result of modern logic, established 50 years ago. It's called Gödel's proof, where Gödel pointed out that the human mind reasons by starting with axioms, and from axioms you build theorems, and you reason. And he pointed out that in any system of axioms, you must, if the system is to be consistent, be missing some axioms. You cannot capture in any system of logic all of the truth. It's like a self-destructing mechanism. This is a mathematical result. You could explain it as though if someone told you he had a phonograph which could reproduce every sound. Well, if it can reproduce every sound, then it can reproduce the very sound which will cause vibrations that will shake it to pieces. And logic works the same way. You cannot capture all the truth or the whole system falls down. That's the limitation of the human mind. And for that reason, in Islam, we say of Allah, Allah, who will haq, he is the truth, he is the reality. And for that reason, he is just outside of what we might totally know. And for that reason, he does not reveal himself, that's impossible. But what he reveals is his will, what he wants us to know. As for the incarnation of God, God becoming man and God at the same time, there are obvious difficulties that have been debated for 2,000 years. You have, for example, if a man is also God, that one person is mortal and immortal at the same time, which, of course, is impossible. As to whether God is the pre-image of man, because the Bible says God was made, or that man is made in the image of God, which means God then must be some kind of a shadow of what a man is. Modern scientists today, if they are atheists, will still tell you that the universe must have originated in something that was independent of time and space. In other words, the universe began before there was such a thing as time, and it came from nowhere. It came from a place for which there is no place. You see what I mean? Even the atheist has to tell you this, because time and space depend on these things around us. Before these things were here, there was no time, there was no space. This is the origin, whatever it may be, of the things that are. Yet, the Bible says of God that he's old. That is a small, but a very subtle point. If the one who originated creation came from before there was creation, then he came from before there was such a thing as time. He cannot be old, if you see what I mean, because he's not subject to the passing of time. That means he is older now than he used to be. He's outside of this kind of influence. The Bible calls God the Ancient of Days and describes him in one place as having a white beard because he is old. The God of Israel is the continual name given through both all of the Old Testament to God, the God of Israel. Now the Jews are very proud of the fact that they are monotheistic. To say we go back thousands of years, we believe in one God, meaning we are very enlightened. But monotheism means one God. The more accurate description of the religion would be a word called henotheism, which means our God. The Jews may well have believed in one God, but he was the God of Israel. They also talk about the gods of Chemosh and Baal and so on as being the gods of those nations and so on. So it is monotheism, but in a rather crude sense. Compare the difference in the Quran to what is God called in the Quran but Rabbi Elohim, that is the Lord of all the universe, not the God of Arabia, or something similar to this. As to whether or not God has offspring, a son, this again is part of a Muslim iman, if he thinks about it. Either he has a son or he doesn't. So he examines the option, is it possible he has one, is it possible he doesn't, and satisfies himself of which can be the only option. If God has a son, it meant that that son was given life by God, otherwise he's not his son. He had to have his life come from that one. If God has a son, that son is the same kind of a being as God, otherwise he's not really his son. He has to have the same nature. But the two don't fit, because the nature of God is he didn't have a father. No one gave him life. That's why he's God. So if his son is just like him, it means no one gave him life. But then it means he's not the son. So you come in a tight little circle and realize the only option must be the other one, or he doesn't have a son. The two conditions are what is called mutually exclusive. If you have one, you can't have the other. That the son shares the nature and was given life by the father.